Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Gerald from the Do Work Podcast. So it has been a minute since you guys have heard me weigh in on anything, and both Cody and Brandon have released individual rants and things of fun content and all of that, and I've just remained largely silent. And that's for a purpose, and yeah, I think we'll get into some of that today. If you guys are certainly ready for the incoherent ramblings of a madman, then you're in for a treat today. So, you know, I've been watching Facebook and seeing everything that comes across here recently, and especially since all of this madness started. And, you know, there used to be a time where I would weigh in and I'd get in on things and argue with people and try to feel like a bad dude with a great opinion, right? And over the past few months, there's been a lot of changes in my life and stuff like that. And really, since I've taken the step back, and I'll get into that here in a minute, I just really haven't had a whole lot to say, because it's been a whole lot of reflection, and it's for good purpose. Because, you know, this platform is great, and especially like you know, the Oath Keepers Conference, Engine Company Resurrection, there's so many others out there. There's like firefighter leadership, there's Christian firefighters, there's just a ton of resources out there, and it's at your disposal, at your fingertips, just very quickly. And I think that's a great thing, and I think that's an amazing thing, and it's definitely something in the past we did not have, because everybody was kind of the king of their own jungle. They were really stuck in where they were and how to deal with things. They did it their way, right? And sometimes we get very closed-minded. We're kings of our own jungle. We have our own jungle. You can't mess with it. It works for us, but it doesn't work for you. And I think the fallacy that's happened, or the problems that are beginning to occur, is because now everybody has a voice. And there's, you know, what is it, 1.8 million firefighters in the U.S.? And I'm not saying not everyone's opinion matters. Everyone has an opinion. And in some form or fashion, their opinion matters because of whatever subject they're talking about. So, but you have 1.8 million voices, and how do you funnel that 1.8 million opinions into a workable strategy or policy or whatever you guys want to get into on that? So how do you do that? And the answer is, it's impossible. Of course, here's another opinion, right? F me, I'm that guy. But you can't do it. Because Captain Johnny on the East Coast is not going to see the fire ground or anything the same way as Captain Schmuckatelli in the Midwest. It's just not going to happen. There's just so many different levels of experience, regional experience, regional indicators, and just the department culture. And I mean, it's a pie that has 9,000 pieces, and it's just different for everybody. And, you know, that's a crazy thing to really think about. But I almost feel to my core that the availability to get opinions out there is also what is hurting the fire service. And the only reason I say that is, you know, now you can gain influence as a firefighter from wherever, and you could be influencing rookie firefighter whomever in a completely different region of the country, and that's not a bad thing. However, depending on where rookie firefighter whoever is a part of, that may actually harm them in a way because of whatever culture or regional basis or anything like that. It just may be one of those things. Now, I completely agree that there is an overwhelming majority in the fire service today that have become stagnant and they're not searching for training or anything like that. And that is not what I'm speaking about. I'm not speaking about going out, being better, finding better training, being better at your craft, being the 1%. It doesn't matter. You can be the minority all you want. But then we have people forming opinions and emulating stuff that is not necessarily constructive. And I'm not talking about the training videos and all of that stuff. I'm talking about people like myself that just go off on this rant of against the leadership because they're stupid and they make poor decisions and all of this stuff. And unfortunately, maybe I affected that one guy that was like, yeah, my leadership sucks. And he goes after something for the wrong reasons when there may have been similarities in my argument to the things that he was experiencing. But the two situations couldn't have been more apples to oranges in comparison. And that's all I'm saying on that. And I'm going to leave that alone because that'll probably generate enough heat as it is. And I'm not meaning to offend anybody out there. Or if I do, sorry. You know, send me a instant message and we can try to talk it out. But that's another thing. Is there's just so much hate going on. And one of the things is that's also hurting us in the same aspect of what I was talking about already is, and it comes down to my rant today because it's going to be about personal courage. And personal courage is not just the courage to open your mouth and get your voice out there, stand on a soapbox or anything like that. Sometimes that courage is the courage to listen to the things other people around you are saying. And I have fallen victim to that more often than not. Of I was great at talking about something, but I was horrible at listening. And you just can't have that. To be effective as a leader, as anybody, as a member of a team, as the lowest member of the team, you have to be able to listen, not only speak. And sometimes you create your own misconceptions, and because of our pride, because of our egos, and because many other factors, we just forget to listen because you know what, I'm right and I don't want to hear that other person's crap. And you know, I think ego is always going to be a thing in the fire service. We all have them. We all just have to realize that we have them, and sometimes we just got to have those people around us and even that self-reflection time to really keep that ego in check, because I'm not right about everything. I can't be. It's impossible. I am wrong about a lot of things. And, you know, I go back in my career and I think about how I feel today and the things that I'm seeing. And, of course, I reflect on the things that I've done wrong. And I go back to the situations yesteryear. You know, they could have been 15, 13, 10 years ago. But they still, you still remember them. You still think about them. And the man I am today, of course, we all have that wish of that I could go back with the knowledge I have today and make different decisions back then. However, you know, when really reflecting about it, and this comes from my time as a leader in the military to being mentored to be a leader in the fire service, you know, beginning in the fire service, then, you know, being a leader in the fire service, and all of those things. And I really think about it and I've reflected about it because this is really what I've been into, is just reflecting for the past few months. And man, when I think about all those things, yeah, I'd go back and I'd change those decisions. And I think I'm just lying to myself in those moments, because really reflecting on it, I wouldn't change a single one. Because I needed to make those mistakes. I needed to be that hard ass. You know, in the military, I was a different type of person for a reason. It was a type that I needed to be. However, there was varying levels of that type, which would have made me more constructive and more effective as a leader. But at that time and at that age, I wasn't ready to move to that next step. I just wasn't. I was immature. I didn't have a whole lot of other life experience. I didn't have a lot of that time underneath me as a leader. So I made a lot of really rookie leader mistakes. Being too harsh, being too vocal, expectations being completely off basis, all of that stuff. But if I wouldn't have made those mistakes then, who would I be today? And, we don't have the magical time machine or anything like that, but I have become more of an effective person today because of the mistakes that I made before. And anymore in our culture, it's almost like we seek perfection in a sense. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's that, and a lot of it comes from the haters. They just expect, oh, well, this person got to this level, they should just know everything they need to know. Well, that's not how it works. It has always been the human condition to, as we progress, we make mistakes and then we learn from those mistakes. We apply it, and good, effective leaders apply the lesson from that mistake and then they move forward in a maybe slightly altered trajectory of where they're going. And, but even ourselves, we do it to ourselves, we do it to our peers, we do it to other firefighters, is we almost expect is once they hit like a certain time bench or a rank or anything like that, that they're going that, and then it's almost like we're nitpicking. We're just like, and in a constructive way, that's not bad, because if somebody's making a mistake, you should definitely point it out. But there's just not a whole lot of personal courage that exists anymore of people willing to have the hard conversation when that mistake is young and it's early and it's fresh. Instead, we're just going to go back and we're going to sit around with the boys and we're going to talk crap about it. And we're going to be like, this guy sucks. He should know that already. What the hell's wrong with him? And we just run them into the ground. We do that with rookies. We do that with new officers. We do that with senior officers. We do that with chiefs. It's systematic of it. We just allow it to get to a boiling point instead of having the courage to deal with it. And that has been my biggest frustration in the fire service over the past couple of years. And of course, I'm also to blame for some of it because of the way that I approached some of the issues and stuff like that. However, I'll take 50% of the blame. How I approach issues, you can call my tone, you can call this, you can call that, whatever. I'll give those to you. I'll own 50% of the blame because I feel I'm fully deserving of that 50%. I'm willing to come to the middle and say, you know what? I have not been perfect. I'm not right. But I'm wanting somebody to come the other 50%. We'll meet in the middle. We'll come to a common ground and let's work through it. But there's not a whole lot of that exists anymore in the fire service, at least in my experience. It may be different other areas of the country. Feel free to tell me how wrong I am. Look, I only know what I know, right? And as far as what I know, it's pretty consistently in this region of the United States, right? So, sue me. I like to wake up to smell of bacon, sue me. But personal courage is huge. And the lack of it in the fire service, and it has a lot to do with, I'm going to call the generation above us, okay? And I'm 33 years old, so, whatever. We want to get into a generation fight, let's get into a generation fight. They learned from a really great generation. They learned from a battle-hardened generation. We're talking about Vietnam veterans. They probably also came in the time where we still had a lot of the great generation in the senior levels or leaving the senior levels at the time. And these were great people to learn from, and they were very hard people to learn from because they were very direct on how they thought. And you know, it's no surprise that a lot of those veterans went into public safety, right? They went into fire departments, they went into organizations that felt as close to the brotherhood that they felt whenever they were in the service. So, you know, fire departments, police departments, other organizations like that is where they fell into because that's where they felt at home. However, and as great as they were, there were parts of their personality that made them very hard to pass along knowledge, right? Or teach the generation underneath them because that's not the way that they were taught. And it just goes back, and this is how progressive our learning has become, is because we're identifying the humps in which maybe the shortcomings of yesteryear and the reasons why they were shortcomings is because of expectations. Back in the day, you know, my grandfather talked about it, his grandpa talked about it, and I was lucky enough to be around for some of the conversations of, you know, I shouldn't have to tell you every blah, 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 blah. It's not okay to ask why. It just do your job. I expect you to do your job and go on about your business. But that was 1/10 of the actual learning that they passed on, because they also knew that if I never showed you how to do your job, I can't expect you to just go do it. But that was a lot of that learning and stuff like that that took place one-on-one. And that's a lot of the stuff that hasn't been passed down. And because there was more of an emphasis on one-on-one style training and being your brother's keeper. And a lot of that responsibility and those tiers of responsibility were passed down. It wasn't the captain's job to grab the rookie and maybe at times he did, and teach him every aspect of his job. It's because of the system that they built, and this was what was never explained, and I've talked to many people about it. Once again, if you feel I'm wrong, tell me about it. I'm cool with it. But they were passing it down of those were the tiers of responsibility. Is, you know, the newest guy who was a full-fledged firefighter out of his probie phase, he was the one that had the most recent training and was the most knowledgeable, so he was the one that was mentoring the new rookie under the guidance of, you know, the senior man. The senior man was a guy who had been there for several years. He's probably looking at a promotion in the future if he wants it, but he has a lot of great knowledge, so he's mentoring that guy to take his place whenever, say, either he retires, promotes, or moves up or moves on, maybe goes to a different station. And that's what it was. It was tiers of responsibility. It was passing down the responsibilities. And that stuff never got talked about. That was the stuff that was the silent whatever that everyone took for granted, and people missed those lesson opportunities. We forgot to tell people about that. So by the time it moved on or anything like that, you can probably put egos in there. And of course, the dynamics of the generations changing, the dynamics of the culture and society changing and all of that stuff. But then all of a sudden, and what I've seen in my 15 years in the fire service has been, you know, a lot of that responsibility now falls on the company officer of, well, it's your job to make sure you guys know what you're doing. And absolutely true. It's absolutely true. But there's been so much emphasis on that person specifically doing it, and almost a micromanagement and a microscope put from management on that fact and those tasks, that, you know, between them having those responsibilities and every other responsibility that they have on the fire ground and at the firehouse and everywhere else, they have forgotten how to delegate. And I'm just saying this in my job. I'm not saying this exists everywhere, but this is just the systematic problem that I'm attacking in a generalized fashion. of now, and this is how we created micromanagers. This is how we did it. We forgot to tell everybody else along the step of the way that, okay, it's great to have goals. It's great to have passion. It's great to have all of these things. It's great to want to make it to that next step. But the whole system fails if you fail to train the guy underneath you to take your place. Because these concepts are being talked about right now in a revelation or a revolution style of we're taking the fire service back. We have to teach everybody to take our spot when we're gone. And this stuff has existed forever. You know, there's no original idea. It's all stuff that's been tried before. You can go back to, I'm sure, reading about like Marcus Aurelius and his command theory and how he trained, you know, Roman legions back in the day. And you could probably see a lot of those principles and philosophies there. So nothing's new. It's just comes that full circle. Just like smooth bores, just like everything else, it just comes full circle in the fire service. And now it's a new idea. We'll just name it something else and somebody will take credit for it. But, you know, that's not what we need to be doing. We need to get back to the true fundamentals and realizing. And a lot of that stuff comes from my main topic here, which is personal courage. Because it was not easy to be in any of those teams back in the day or anything like that. It was not an easy job. You had to earn your spot every day you walked in the door. And if you were slacking, somebody was going to tell you about it. It was about accountability. And back in the day, I think they dealt with stuff very harshly. We've all heard the stories. People call it hazing. They call it whatever. It's part of that PC culture, or whatever you want to be a part of. And what, you know, whatever it is. You know, they called fault and they called it very harshly. It was, you suck at this. And, you know, it was very direct. It was very demeaning in a way, but that's how they were taught. So then we come into the later generations and now it's becoming less okay to do that type of stuff. So how do I deal with somebody without offending them? And of course, there were things that got taken too far, people that pushed things too far, and of course, it just shined a whole big old light on an area of the fire service that was absolutely essential, but now it's under the microscope of management because, of course, we don't want lawsuits, we don't want lost time, we want to focus on retention, we want to focus on all of these other very big managerial things, but now we're micromanaging on how we can even teach. How we can do this and how we can do that and how we can do that. Because you may have had a great crew dynamic and in a senior captain, senior firefighter, you know, driver, however it was structured, and they were a mean, rough and gruff crew, and that captain had an understanding with his entire crew that, you know, this is just how he dealt with it. They've been together for years. They understand him. A new guy comes in, and maybe the new guy's just not used to the way that that guy deals with things. Well, new guy throws up the flag like, hey, well, I don't know about this. I don't think he's treating me right or anything like that. And was that a failure of the captain? Was that a failure of the rookie? Or was that a failure of the entire system? And, you know, in my opinion, it's a failure of the entire system. You know, that senior guy should have been telling the firefighter, and the firefighter should have been mentoring the new guys when he had problems. But, you know, and then we throw other facets of the job in there of now we're learning EMS, now we're learning this, now we're learning that, you know, whatever. It can get overwhelming at times. There can be a lot to your job in a very short period of time that you have to be there. Plus, you know, you throw in outside influences like family and, you know, probably money, finances, all of that different stuff. It can get rough. But, you know, the whole system failed because now we have somebody complaining about someone they do not understand. Right? And that firefighter should have been the person that was like, hey, man, this is just how Cap is. He's really a great guy. Just spend some time. But we quit having those conversations because all of a sudden we turned culturally to you have to be a particular type of person to be a leader and you have to have particular qualities and all of that jazz. And You know, it even happens today. Is if you ever raise your voice on the fire ground, you're not a leader. That's pretty, well, thanks for putting that in a box. That's okay. How does that work? I tell you what, if you're ever in a gunfight and you raise your voice at people, it's not okay. You're not a sergeant. You can't lead people. And, you know, extreme example, right? Because that's where I go. I just go to the extremes. I don't float around in the middle. But, you know, that is an example right there. When you're in battle and stuff like that, voices get raised, things get said, stuff happens in the moment. It's okay, but those are the type of things, those are the lessons that we're forgetting to teach people. That is the stuff that we are just forgetting to capitalize on and actually pass along to the generation behind us. You know, Cap's a dick for the first 5 minutes on scene. It happens, okay? He's just got a lot going through his mind, has a lot of responsibility. He's hopping off the truck. He doesn't have time to have a conversation. So unless he's telling you to force entry on a door that has a king cobra wrapped around it, who's hanging onto a power line that is also in a manhole filled with water directly at the front door, and you're about to die, there's nothing that you have to say to him that's important until he comes up to you and talks to you. Just listen for his direction. Do your job to the best of your ability. And if there's an issue, a true issue like we already described, then bring it up whenever he has the opportunity to listen to what you are saying. And, you know, but we have a culture today that everyone's opinions matter. And they do. And everybody is a safety on the fire ground. Everybody has the right to be like, hey, I don't know about this. However, we've told them that they have the right to speak, which they do. But within that, we haven't explained to them that you have the obligation to listen. Because what you are seeing, and it could be inexperience-based, because this has happened to me. This has been one of my failures that I go back on, and it made me turn around and really think. It was like, I thought this was an issue. I thought this was a danger, but because of my captain's experience or my senior firefighter's experience and all of that stuff, because I was scared. I had come to a point where I thought that the operation we were doing was unsafe. And I said, hey, man, I'm not sure about this. And the captain took one look, looked back at me, looked back at it, and I mean, it wasn't, you know, 5 minutes. It was probably like 30, 45 seconds. He evaluated what I was talking about. He looked at me and he said, just go do your job. Just get in there and go fight the fire. And because he took what I was saying, because of what I was seeing, and then he reevaluated. He stopped, he looked, he said, I just don't see what you're seeing. And his experience, but that mate, that gave him the opportunity of, hey, one of my guys is uncomfortable, let me look. Okay, I'm just not seeing what he's seeing, and I'm looking really hard at it. Because, of course, we can scan over things when we're in the moment and working fast trying to get a result, right? And boom, he took 45 seconds to shut up, go do your job. We talked about it afterwards, and he was like, look, man, what were you seeing that you were uncomfortable with? And, you know, I talked about the smoke conditions, and I think I was worried about flashover at the time, because we had pretty heavy smoke conditions. It was fingering out and stuff like that, a lot of the warning signs of, you know, imminent flashover. However, around the time that I was concerned about that, they started directing another hose line in to cool off the atmosphere, and then we were about to go in. So by the time that he had made the evaluation and all of that stuff, the conditions had already changed, and rightfully so. Is, you know, there was a lot of stuff in motion at the time that I was uncomfortable, and I was being like, hey, I'm uncomfortable with what's going on. There were already things in place that I was not privy to and shouldn't have been privy to because of my position that were counteracting those exact things that I was worried about. And by the time it came to that point, Captain looks up, yeah, we're making a change. We're still going in. Just shut up. And You know, that was a lot of the stuff we talked about, but it was a really eye-opening experience for me because, and that is stuff that I've even experienced as an officer of, you know, being questioned on set. Well, what, why this and why that and why that and why this and all of that stuff. And, you know, that was a learning point for me because, you know, I had very many choices in front of me. Could I've just said, because I said so, shut up. Could have. But because I've been the person in that position before and I felt that way, you know, there's a constructive way to deal with it. Is it on the fire scene? 97% of the time for me, no. I'm not going to explain it on the fire scene unless it's just something that has thrown this person completely off. And I'm only going to take very few minutes to do that for me. I'm going to take very little time to deal with that. That is something that we'll deal with at the fire station if you don't like it. Because, you know, my big thing is I've been criticized for, in the first 5 minutes on scene, I yell. That's what I do. I have a higher voice. I'm directing. I'm looking. I'm just a very analytical person. So before we've even arrived on scene, I've already fought this fire 10 times in my mind. I don't even know what the house looks like. I don't even know what the fire conditions look like. I'm listening to radio reports. I'm listening to dispatch. I'm going over because I may have seen this house before. I'm trying to picture it on the block. I'm picturing where the nearest hydrant is. You know, if there's already companies on scene, now I'm fo and that's the best thing for me is because now I know what my potential assignment could be. Usually for us, it was writ. Stuff like that, and I'm going, okay. So when I arrive on scene, I'm gonna do this, 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 and I'm gonna get my crew split up. I'm gonna do this, and you know how it is. Most officers will tell you is it looks like the rail yards. There's a bunch of tracks, and they're interweaving with each other, and all sorts of other craziness. That is an officer's mind as he's en route to a working fire, because there's just so many avenues that I can take, and then usually we pull up and we hit the parking brake, and I have taken 1 point from plan one, 2 points from plan six, 3 points from plan nine, and scrapped all the rest of it because we popped the brake. I looked at it and I go, oh, yep, not anywhere close to what I was thinking it looked like. And we move on. But in that first 5 minutes, I am just trying to straighten the plan out in my mind. So I am very direct. I'm very blunt. Grab this, do this, go here, soften that opening, all of that stuff, whatever I'm assigning. And there have been some people that were very hurt, by the way that I spoke to them on scene. And one of them came to me one time and was like, hey, well, you don't see Chief so and so walking around on scene yelling at everybody. Why do you do it? Why do you feel like you can do it? And, you know, at the time, I was very taken aback. And I didn't want to deal with the way that other officers had dealt with me in the past by asking that same very silly question. And, you know, you want to get angry about it because a little bit of it feels very personal because that's very about you, right? And we all have an emotional response to anything that has to do with us. You can't sidestep that. Even if we keep it internal and we've learned and we've grown and we're better people, we still have a slight emotional response to whatever's being brought to our doorstep about us. And I looked at him and, you know, thought about it for a second, and I said, well, Chief doesn't have to yell, because he's the one that's keeping all the rest of us calm. He's the one that's directing the chaos and all of that stuff, but I'm the person in the moment directing the crew. I'm on the front lines. The front lines are loud. And I've been in a situation where I have an officer say something and I don't hear him. So I'm sorry, I'm very animated. I yell in a sense. I'm not mad at you. I'm sorry you feel I'm mad at you, but I'm not. I'm just simply stating what I need to state and moving the heck on. And that's it. If you can't take that, man, then don't ride the engine with me. That's all I can tell you. This was a volunteer organization. Don't get to pick your crew. all that stuff. So it's a little bit different. But, in that sense, it was, if you can't work underneath me, don't work for me. And I want them to be able to work for me. I want to be able to work with anybody and all of that stuff. But there's just some people in today's generation that can't handle that type of stress. They can't handle that. I guess they've never had it, and they just don't deal with it well. And if that's the case, you have to know your limitations. But, and maybe he is better under a softer spoken officer. Maybe he just has the uncanny ability to be able to listen over a vent fan and a 70% involved fire with everything else going on. I don't know. Maybe he just has that ability. Maybe he can read lips through an SCBA mask. I have no idea. But maybe he's better off in one of those roles with a softer spoken officer than he is with me. And that's utilizing and understanding, because is it his weakness or is it my weakness? I'm not sure. I don't know how to classify that. Somebody can weigh in on it and slam me with it. I don't care. It's probably my weakness is that I yell and that I'm off-putting to some people, and that makes me a less effective leader because of the way that I act in the first 5 minutes of a fire scene. So very well could be. And if that's something I need to work on, look, man, I work on everything every day. Or I work on one thing every day. And if that's just something else I have to address, look, man, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be perfect. There was one person on this planet that was perfect, and he died a long time ago. And, of course, I'd love to be like him, and that's what part of my life now is about, growing more like him. But I have to understand that I'm human first, and humans are naturally imperfect. And I think that's a healthy way for anybody to look at themselves is, and we have to get away from this stigmata and this perception that people have to be perfect. They're not going to be. We can say what we want, and we can just be the, if that's what it is, if we're just going to be those people that call foul on every little thing that happens, what kind of a miserable existence are we going to operate in? And that happens so much in the fire service today. It'd be like, oh, well, he didn't, well, when he got on scene, he forgot to establish command. He gave an awesome size up. He told everybody what he was going to be doing. He gave other assignments and all of that stuff, but he forgot to say on the radio that he is establishing command. Is this a training fault? Is that an operational fault? Nah. In a sense, yeah, he forgot to meet one of the benchmarks that's required of the first initial arriving officer, right? We're going to go back. We're going to black and white this, and they forgot to do this. They suck. Why? Why are we getting so focused on the 1% or 3% of stuff that went wrong and negating the 75 per, or 70, I can't add today, guys. The 97% stuff that got done right. I'm not saying rub their balls, pat their back, or anything like that. What I'm saying is that 3%, yes, we can work on it, but why are we getting so stirred up and so pissed off about the 3% that we're not even willing to communicate with each other anymore? Where's the common ground? Because now it's all confrontation. Now everybody has an opinion. And everybody's opinion's correct. And that's just the way that it works. And now we have it at our fingertips where I can argue with a guy from New Jersey about how wrong he is and how right I am. And we don't know a thing about each other. We don't know a thing about each other's fire departments. We don't know anything about anything other than what is in our little jungle. And, there may be some correct points on both sides, but we forgot to listen to each other. And I am just as guilty as anybody else. Because you know what? That person may be absolutely correct for the environment that they find themselves in their department with their policies in their region of the country. They may be absolutely correct for what they're talking about. But that person in the Midwest could be absolutely correct about the things that he's talking about. But what could we learn from each other? What is the thing that we could have taken from each other had we had the wherewithal and the personal courage to shut the hell up and listen? What could we have learned from each other? And that's my main point about today, because personal courage is so lost in the fire service. And, you know, I've been going for 40 minutes now, and it probably just sounds like a jumbled mess of crap, and I apologize for that. But, you know, there's a lot that I've been dealing with in my personal life about personal courage. And how many times can I say personal in a podcast? A lot of P's going out here today, but... And I'm not talking, and when I say personal courage, I'm not talking about physical courage, okay? Because there are different types of courage. There's physical courage, you're putting yourself in danger, all of that stuff. That's what firemen are great at. And even poor firemen do it, right? They put themselves in danger to help the public. They still have some sort of courage. Personal courage is where I'm talking about one-on-one, group of person versus other group of people, anything like that. Why are we so caught on wanting to be right instead of just listening to the conversation and trying to come to a common ground? Because the art of argument is lost in this country. It's been lost in the fire service in most areas. Some places it's getting better. But why do I have to argue to be right? Why can't I just listen to what's being said and then slowly speak my points at the avenue? Are there some people out there that you're just not going to be able to talk to? That's fine. Let them vent. Let them say what they're going to say. And if they're not going to hear your point, they're always going to talk over you. And, you know, leave the conversation. You don't have to stay in it. You don't have to stay and be berated by somebody or anything else like that. And let them feel like they won. Who cares? They won their little victory in their little... They're the king of their jungle, okay? They win. Awesome. They're going to go back and they're going to tell the tens of people that actually like them that they won an argument against this person. Okay, that's fine. Cool. You can walk away. And that is something that I've had to very hardly learn in my life. However, there's a double-edged sword. Because there's also a lot of personal courage out there of people who see things that are wrong and are done wrong, but don't have the courage to stand up because it could affect them. And I have seen a ton of that. Of they know something's done wrong. They know it's wrong. At the core of them as a human being, they know that whatever happened was wrong. However, if I approach the subject, if I say something about it, oh man, that could make this person mad at me, or... You know, that could affect my career or anything like that. And those are very real scares. Retaliation is a thing that happens, guys. But somebody has to be willing to have the wherewithal and the courage to stand up and be like, look, this is wrong. I don't think this was right. And I don't care what you think about it. And let's talk about it. I'm not just going to say that I'm right and this was wrong or anything like that. But... You know, I've even had moments in the past year of my life where, you know, whatever, regardless of how I feel, I'm going to try to work within this whatever system to make it more effective and just come to terms with whatever they're saying. I need to open my ears more and I need to close my mouth. And, you know, let's see if we can work this out. So I approached these situations and, hey, what about this? And there was some of it where we had a very good constructive one-on-one back and forth, felt like we caught some common ground. Then it comes out later that the person completely went opposite of what they said they were going to do. That happens. But, you know, I associate that with cowardice. You know, they didn't have the personal courage to tell me how they truly felt. Instead, they'll just go behind your back and say however they truly feel because they don't have the wherewithal to stand before you as a man and as a brother and take the lickings that they have coming or to admit fault. And that's where a lot of us have to look ourselves in the mirror, you know, being quick to listen and slow to speak of, you know, have I been in this person's shoes before? Have I made this mistake before? What am I judging them based on? What is the core root of this issue, and is there a compromise that I can make Not saying that's an absolute right thing to do, but is there a compromise that I need to make because I'm standing on ego, or I'm standing on loose facts, or I'm standing on something that just doesn't have the legs underneath it to carry through and actually have a productive building session with somebody? Because it's not about victory. Because if you're fighting for victory against other people, you're fighting for a hollow victory. There will be no fulfillment out of your victory with another person. It's just not going to happen. You may feel good for a minute, 5 minutes, an hour, a day, I don't know. But I've even lived this, guys, and this is not me criticizing anybody else. This is me talking personally about what I have experienced, because I would win victories and it wouldn't be enough. And then I'd go out and I'd lose, or I'd get beat up about this, or I'd been wrong on one point and I get beat up about it, or anything like that. They're hollow victories. Me fighting a brother over whatever is doing nothing to the overall mission of the fire service. Other than what? Me proving that I have a piece of knowledge that they don't truly possess? Because in a team dynamic, if all, that's all we're doing is we're parading over each other and putting each other down, and ah ha ha ha, you don't, I know this and you don't. Have I effectively passed the knowledge that I have? Have I effectively molded into a member of a team? Have I accepted the members of my team? And these are three big things that I've failed at before in my past. How can I pass this knowledge? How can I effectively get along with this person? How can I build camaraderie, and how can I build this culture of where we're not always trying to one-up each other, and we're not always trying to do this thing? And I don't know how to solve that, guys. There's probably psychologists out there that know exactly how we need to address all of this, but nobody's going to listen to them. It's just some quack. Right? But you know, that is the issue, is I get so caught up and I don't want to lose face. So no, I'm not going to listen to this person. I'm not going to come to a common ground. I'm not going to compromise something. I'm not going to stand up for what I believe in. I'm not going to say something's wrong when I know it's wrong. I'm not going to do this. And that's the mentality that exists out there. Because even, and it's, you know, it's, there's always two sides of the coin, because we have people like that that aren't going to stand up and aren't going to say anything or whatever. And then we have people that stand up and say something about everything, and but they don't have the courage to listen to what's being told to them. So, you know, you could be on both sides of the spectrum, and it could be in different aspects of your own person. On this, I'm very accepting and open to having these conversations. But if you talk about this, oh, I'm closed off. I got a door right there, buddy. You ain't coming in. Screw you. And, you know, I think a lot of times we should always go back, and we should, you know, it's the most powerful thing. It's from scripture, it's from the Bible, and it's in the book of James. Look it up. But, you know, slow to speak, but quick to listen. Listen to what's going on before you weigh in on it. It's no different than, you know, I can say all day that we're going to kick in the front door and we're going to take the fight to the fire, right? Every time. That's what we're doing. Clack, 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 clack. That is our thing. But as a smart, intelligent, trained leader, I know for a fact that I cannot make that decision until that air brake pops and I'm staring at the front of the house. I know for a fact. I can talk all the crap I want to about it. I can say all of these things on how exactly I'm going to fight this fire. I can point directly at a building and say, I will fight this fire this way. Until that son of a gun is toned out for burning in the middle of the night or middle of the day or whatever, and I roll up and that driver pops the air brake, all of that is just polite conjecture on a situation that's never happened. And a lot of times that's where these things happen between people is, and I, you know, maybe that's my last point before I get done, because we're coming up on an hour and I'm sure you guys are tired of hearing about this crap. But A lot of times I was very guilty of having conversations with people in my head that I've never had, right? Gauging and contemplating what their reaction was going to be, whether it was going to be confrontational, whether it was going to be well received. And I think that's just part of being analytical and has a lot to do with some of my other training of, I don't know, I was built as a person that if you can think your way, you have to have the ability to think your way through a situation, right? You have to prepare. You have to be prepared for the unknown. And sometimes we can take that a bit far because I would have conversations with people that I never had because I would work myself up and be like, oh, I know what they're going to say to that and all of that stuff. So I never gave the opportunity. So therefore, the conversation never happened. So every stupid thing that I ran through my mind was null and void. It never happened. I don't know what the other person was ever going to say, but I was too much of an idiot and too much of a coward to have that conversation with them because when you come down to the root cause of it, I was afraid of what they were going to say. And we need to start to admit that to ourselves as leaders, as brother firefighters, as whoever. Of the fact, until you have the conversation takes place, and you're willing to listen to what the other person says, you have no idea what's going to transpire. And it just comes back to that analogy, man. Until you've burned that house down, we can talk about it 9 ways through Sunday, how we're going to burn that house down. But until the tones hit and we arrive at that house on fire, we don't know. We have no clue. We have an idea. We have a guideline. We have a very broad spectrum of this is how we fight a residential house fire. This is how we fight a commercial building fire. This is how we fight a high-rise fire. Okay? Those are guidelines. Those are very broad, very open things. And we have to start treating almost personalities and interactions with people the same way. It's a broad thing. Until you've had the conversation, until you've heard somebody out, you don't know. So why go around speculating that this person hates me or, forget that person. I heard they said this about you. Quit the rumor mill bull crap. Who cares? You know what? I've always been very effective in my life of if I heard somebody had a problem with me, is I'd confront them. And I still do that to an extent, but now I'm kind of in a phase where I have a new walk in life and all of that stuff, and it really doesn't matter. Because you know what? Confrontation doesn't solve anything. It really doesn't. If they have a problem and we have to work together or whatever, that's a situation, a very specific situation that needs to be worked out for the betterment of the department and the team, right? But when they have nothing to do with your life, you don't have to waste a minute on them. You don't have to waste a second, bro. It is all good. You can't stop the rock because I walked away from a bunch of things that were causing a lot of turmoil in my life. And there's some people that still come around and be, oh, do you know what? And it's like, no, I don't care. I don't care what these people have to say about me because they don't know me. And I gave them the opportunity. I tried to stand in front of them and be like, hey, man, what's wrong? What's up with this? And I really did. I tried to approach a bunch of people about stuff. And I heard some false answers. Heard some other stuff, some people just not wanting to have confrontation, being very cowardice, and oh no, I never said any of that stuff, and all of that, and whatever. It doesn't matter anymore, because you know what? If they truly were a leader, if they truly were worried about me or anybody around me or anything like that, they would have cared enough to have a conversation. Now all they care about is being right and being the boss, I guess, and how right they are, and I don't know. I guess demeaning to me. I don't know what they do. I who cares? Because you know what? They're out of my life. It doesn't matter anymore. Does not matter. And that's the most freeing feeling in the world. Because who cares? I have a lot more life to lead. My family's the most important thing in my life, besides the good Lord. And, my last closing statement will be, is I've read a lot of leadership books from military to fire service to all of these things, man. And the greatest leadership book that I've ever found in my life, and I'm continuing to learn just such amazing things on how to be a better person and be a better leader and just a better brother to people, is the Bible. And if you haven't picked it up, man, I've always heard the cliches, if you do this job or you do similar jobs long enough, you find God. And yeah, I think that was in a movie. I think that's directly from, I don't, what is it? What's the one with Joaquin? The Ladder 49? Some, yeah, I think that's, I stole that from there, so whatever. But it's true. It's absolutely true. Is there, you know, I had a hole in my spiritual self that was not fulfilled because I was willing to listen to what was being told to me. And finally, I opened my ears. Finally, God got a hold of me. And a lot of these principles and a lot of the things that I'm talking about, it talks about in the Bible. This has existed forever. There are gonna be false leaders and bad people preaching the bad things. But we don't have to hate them for it. And there's a constructive way to deal with it. And even if they don't want to listen to us, listen to them. Because you know what? That's actually what your job is regardless of whether somebody's gonna hear the words that you say, you should be willing to listen to what they have to say. And just be careful about what you put out there because, man, you know, there's nothing more dangerous, and it says that there's nothing more dangerous than the human tongue, guys. And sometimes we can let some stuff fly that doesn't need to fly, man. It's just, it's poisonous, it's venomous. And you know, I, you know, really honestly, everybody look at themselves and look at the guys around them, because you can change it. Culture can change. And say to yourselves, are we a brotherhood? Are we a fellowship? Are we people that support each other? Or are we a den of vipers? That just, we don't care about anybody but ourselves, and we will bite each other to stay on top of the hill. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed listening to my incoherent rambling. I don't know. This is why it's incoherent. It just goes all over the dang place. I haven't weighed in a long time. So, I don't know. If it makes sense, cool. For some of you people, if it just sounds like some idiot talking for almost an hour about nothing, let me know. I won't do it again. But, look, guys, take care of yourselves. Go into this. Be willing to listen to the people around you and not necessarily be willing to talk. You know what I'm saying? Just, we can be better. It's all about us, and it's all about the attitude. Be positive, because there's a lot of negative out there right now, and it will just eat you alive. Because in this world, we will spend 1 minute of an hour talking about the positive, and the next 59 minutes talking about the negative. And maybe that's something we should change. But take care, guys. Love you. Love the fire service. Keep it up. And I don't have these other schmucks. So just remember, know your trade, do your job, do work. See you later, boys.